I want you to look today, with this being the last Sunday in December 2024, December the 29th, our last Sunday in the year, we begin our third lesson in this new series entitled Walking Wisely in a Foolish World. Walking Wisely in a Foolish World. And today we're going to be looking at some verses in Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4, we're going to look at this. I put down some verses here for our theme verse. Originally in the lesson, I was only going to use verse 20, but I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 23 with me this morning. The title of the lesson today is Wisdom and Truth. Wisdom and Truth. Emily talked about it this morning in her testimony. She knew a lot about God, but she did not yet know Him as her Savior. A lot of people know truth, but they have never applied truth to their hearts. They've never applied it. They know what's right to do. They know what they ought to do. They know what needs to be done, but they've never applied it to their heart and let truth live out from their heart. So today, I want you to look at this with me. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 23. Look at what Solomon said to his son. He said, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart." Why? Why did he encourage them to do this? Why did he exhort them to do this? Look at the next verse. "For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Wow, what a passage of Scripture. This describes the lesson we're looking at today with wisdom and truth. You know, I ask myself this question, do I have just a simple knowledge of truth? Or do I possess applied truth and wisdom in my life? Do I know it? Do I have a knowledge of truth? Or have I actually applied it to my heart and to my life? As we begin this third lesson in this series entitled Walking Wisely in a Foolish World, we need to understand what God expects of us. We need to understand what God expects of us as His dear children, as those who have been birthed into the family of God. We know Christ as our Savior. We know the truth of the Word of God. But you know what? He also expects us to allow that truth to affect our lives and to change our lives. We're not what we used to be. When I got saved, God made me into a new creature. Amen. You and I are new creations. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. He has made us to be something different than what we were before we were saved. Now listen, if we get saved and we live the same old lifestyle, we do the same old things, we do what we used to do before we got saved, there's not been any change, has there? Wisdom and truth changes things in a person's life. Truth changes things. And this is why Jesus explained it this way. I want you to turn over to the book of Matthew chapter 15 just a moment. Matthew chapter 15. And in Matthew chapter 15, the Pharisees are fussing about his disciples eating corn or eating out of the fields with their hands not being washed. Now, I always try to wash my hands before I eat unless I'm starving. Okay? And then I'll wash them afterwards. But But they were fussing about those things that his disciples were doing and said, boy, they can't be, you know, anything for God. Look what Jesus told them, beginning in Matthew chapter 15, verse number 18. He said, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. Now, let me stop right there just a minute. If you're still cussing and fussing and criticizing and you got bad communication coming out of your mouth, there's something wrong with your heart. There's something wrong with your heart. You say, how do I know that? Because Jesus said, those things which proceed, they come out of our mouths, come forth from the heart. And they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed what? Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. And look what he said. These are the things which defile a man. Those things in our heart. But we need to make sure our heart is right with God. And if we know Christ as our Savior, then we need to grow in the truth and in the knowledge of the Word of God so that we might attain wisdom and understanding of how we're to live for God. Does that make sense to you this morning? And what we need to do, we need to grow in the Word of God. Emily mentioned this morning, she came to know Christ as her Savior, but she had to get into the Word of God. She gave herself unto the Lord. That was her reasonable service unto the Lord. She presented herself as what? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service unto Him. And that's what we need to be doing. Not to be saved, but because we are saved. Does that make sense to you? All right. When my wife and I got married, I gave myself to her. She gave herself to me. Whole. She got all of me. Fat, skinny, everything. She got it all. Amen. And you know what? I got all of her. All 94 pounds then. Okay. There's more now, but you know, God's good. God's blessed her too. Amen. And you know what? Listen, God wants all of you, not just your talk. Your talk talks, and your walk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. You understand that today? And what comes out of our mouths, what comes out of our living, the way that we live, is first settled in our hearts. It's settled there. And so this is why Solomon wrote there in verse 23. Look at what he said. He said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. For out of the heart are the issues, the very beings of our soul. Everything that we do in this life, it comes from our heart. Don't do things half-heartedly. Have you heard that? People have said, do this with all your heart. I tell my wife, I love you with all my heart. Why? Because that is the seat of all our emotions. That is where things are settled within our soul. It's in our very being. So as Christians, we need to grow in the Word of God. And we need to learn to live and to walk wisely in this old foolish world. How? By applying the Scriptures to our lives each and every day and in every way that we do things. We need to apply those things in our heart. So that's the only way for you and for me to walk wisely in this foolish world. Boy, we're seeing some things that just... I came home yesterday. We were home yesterday. We just relaxed. It was so relaxed around our house, we couldn't even get Rosie to vacuum the floors. Rosie didn't even want. Last year, our kids gave us one of these little round robot things that goes around your house and it vacuums up and it mops the floor and all that stuff. And we've loved it all year. We've loved it. And Rosie wouldn't even work yesterday. So I said, you know what? I'm not messing with it. It just had to be dirty another day. I'll clean it Monday or something when I'm off Monday. But you know what? Listen, we sat down yesterday and we were watching the news. And I now know why I don't watch the news anymore. I just wanted to get caught up on some things. And they're talking about all this political mess and all this stuff has been going on and all the lies that have been told in the last 4 years. Well, listen, honestly, folks, everybody knew that the guy that was the president, that is the president right now, was a liar.
Yep, that's right.
They all knew that. But they accepted the lie. And now they're having to live with the results of that lie. Okay? So what's going to make a difference? It's truth. But folks, truth still has to be accepted. And folks, I know of Christians right now that say, I know I'm saved, but... And they don't want to accept truth from the Word of God. And folks, until we accept truth and we apply that truth to our lives and we walk in the wisdom of God's truth, which is the Word of God, we will not know peace or victory in our own personal lives. We'll not have it. We'll not have it. Listen, the world is going to get more and more wicked as the days go by. But that's why you and I are to be the salt and the light today in this world. We are to try to preserve that which is good by giving truth to those who need to hear it. And folks, listen to me. All the way down to North Carolina and back, I gave out gospel tracts. Man, if we stopped at a rest stop somewhere, I went to the restroom, whether I needed to or not, just to leave gospel tracts. And you know what? Nobody refused a gospel tract. Nobody we talked to refused a gospel tract. Folks want to know truth. What they need are declarers of the truth. And folks that are willing to share it because they know the truth and they want others to know the truth as well. That's what Solomon was doing with his son here. And he was trying to help him to understand, my son, keep thy heart with all diligence. To be diligent means to be busy about something. You've got to be sober-minded about it. You've got to be serious about this thing. Keep your heart with all diligence. Why? Because out of it are the issues of life. Everything we do, we say. We can say one thing, but we can do something else, and it proves nothing. But if we live out what is in our hearts, and we show that truth and that wisdom, God is going to bless it. And folks will see the difference in our lives. Do you understand that today? So I want us to look at this lesson today. And, you know, you may ask yourself a question. You say, but how do I learn to apply the knowledge that I attain from the Word of God in my life from day to day? How do I learn to apply it? There are two important ways to do this. And I want us to cover this today in our lesson. I want us to look at it. There are two types of truth and wisdom made available to every person alive today. The truth and the wisdom that comes from this world and the truth and the wisdom that comes only from God. Now, there's two sources. And it depends upon where you're getting your source of wisdom and truth from. Okay? If you get it from the media today, you're in a heap of trouble. If you get it from the world today, you're in a mess of trouble. But if you get it from the Word of God, then you can depend upon it. You can count it as faithful and true in all that you do. Now let's look at it today. The Apostle Paul wrote of this world's truth and wisdom in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I want you to turn there just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. We're going to begin in verse number 17. Now, this is what it said. Paul wrote this. He said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Listen, when I was a boy, I got sprinkled. When I was a boy, I got fully baptized. But all those outward things never changed my inward heart. It never did anything for my sinful heart. You can do all sorts of mannerisms and all sorts of traditions of men, but those things will not change your heart. It takes the preaching of the gospel to be heard, received, applied in our lives for our hearts to be made different. And Paul said, listen, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, that word perish means to die without hope, it is to them foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that what? That believed. We hear the truth and we believe the truth. Okay? Now listen to me. Let me set a matter straight. We don't go to heaven because we pray. Okay? The Hindus pray. The Muslims pray. They may pray more than most Christians pray. But that doesn't mean they're going to heaven. You must hear the message of the gospel and believe the truth of that gospel. And when we believe the truth, we receive it in our hearts and we are born again. We are birthed into the family of God. Now look what he said. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Boy, that's a truth that needs to be preached today. The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren. Had it not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not to bring to naught things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. The wisdom we get from this book is God's wisdom. It's not man's wisdom. It's God's wisdom. James asked this question in James chapter 3. Look at this with me. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 16. James asked this question. He said, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But then look how James contrasts this earthly type of wisdom with godly wisdom. In verses 17 and 18, look what he said. He said, but the wisdom that is from above is first what? It's pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And this is why James admonishes us in the very first chapter that he writes in this epistle. James chapter 1, verse number 5, he writes this. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, if you don't have the wisdom that you want, that you need, that God wants you to have, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That means God doesn't get mad when you ask him for wisdom. God doesn't get mad at you when you say, Lord, I don't know what to do. Can you show me? Can you show me what I need to do in this situation? God says, I sure can. And he will. And look what he said. And it shall be given him. If we ask of God, God will give that wisdom. So again, you may ask the question, so how do I learn to apply the knowledge that I attain from the Word of God to my life? How do I do that personally? How do I do that in my life? How do I face this new upcoming year, okay, of 2025? How do I do that? Well, number one, it's through personal assimilation of the Word of God in our lives. We let it become part of us. You know what we do? We do what pastors always tell us to do. Get in the Word of God and let the Word of God, what? Get in us. That's what we need to do today. We need to let it get in us. I want you to look at this word, assimilate, just a moment. That's a big word. That's a big word. And it's defined by Webster as this. It means to take in and to utilize as nourishment. Down south, they call the Bible soul food. Okay? It's called soul food. It's to be taken in and utilized as nourishment. All right? It also means to take into the mind and thoroughly comprehend. No wonder Solomon said here in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, he said, my son, attend to my words. Listen to my words. Take in my words. Let them become a part of you. Attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. We need to keep it where it matters. Why? Because all the matters, the issues of life come forth from our heart. What's in our heart? If hatred and strife and evil sayings and all these other things are kept in our heart, pretty soon that's going to come out in our life. And if we hide the Word of God in our hearts, we will not sin against Him. Is that not what the psalmist David said? Now listen, Solomon wanted his son to listen intently to his words of instruction. Solomon wanted him to intend to obey those words, okay? We can know what God says do, but until we apply, until we trust Him and obey Him, it does us no good to know truth. You understand that today? We got to know it. So oftentimes, we allow selfish pride and arrogance to prevent us from receiving the truth and from receiving the understanding God truly wants us to have. Now, do we not do that? We're human. We let pride, we let foolish pride and arrogance. Solomon wrote, look at this in chapter number 8, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. I'm going to give you several verses today. I think I've put them in your bulletin. I tried to put as many of them in there as I could. But Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, he said, the fear of the Lord, now listen to this, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. And in Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 10, he wrote these words, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. We need to be well advised in the Word of God. That's Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. And then I want you to remember a truth today that many folks have forgotten. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 18. We'll be done in a little bit. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction. And look at this. And an haughty spirit before a fall. You see, we need to be willing to humble ourselves and ask God for wisdom. We need to humble ourselves and see the need for God's wisdom in our lives. We need to come to that point where we realize we can't solve the problems in this world. We can't solve the problems in our own lives. We need God's wisdom for this. So in pride, folks rebel against their parents today. Kids rebel against their parents. It's pride that causes that. They think they know more than their parents. I wish, when I was 16, I wish I'd have known as much as what I thought I knew at that point so I could have it today. I need wisdom today. And the older I get, the dumber I think I've always been. Because I'm always having to ask God, Lord, I don't know what to do. Help me, Lord. Show me here. But in pride, oftentimes children rebel against their parents without even realizing that they're doing it. And they're also rebelling against God, and they're forgetting what God said over in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Listen to what the Bible said. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse number 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Well, you know what? That's where fathers learn that they need the wisdom of God. To bring our children up in the nurture and the wisdom of the Lord. Solomon wanted his son to focus on the wise instruction that he was receiving so that he would not depart from godly wisdom. And he would not turn away and be tempted by his friends and acquaintances to be rebellious toward God or toward his parents. And that's why he wrote there in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't give in to them. Folks, as we come to this ending of 2024 and the beginning of 2025, we need to remember this verse. If the devil, if sinners entice thee, if they try to convince you to turn your heart away from God, consent thou not. In other words, don't do it. Don't do it. Why? Because God has a better plan. Jesus talked about it there in that Matthew chapter 15. We looked at this earlier. He said, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. You want to ruin your testimony real quick? Just continue to let garbage go in, because garbage will go out. When I was learning computers years ago, that was one of the big things they always told us. Garbage in, garbage out. Put the information in and the information coming out will be correct. And you know what? It's the same way in a Christian's life. If we allow the garbage of this world, the wisdom of this old world to come in, and it floods our soul, pretty soon it's going to come out in the way that we live, we walk, and we talk. We've got to be careful about how we apply the wisdom. But then I want you to look at this. Not only do we accomplish this through assimilation, but we accomplish this through personal application of the Word of God in our hearts. And we apply, when we apply the Word of God in our hearts, God makes a difference. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 22. Look at it with me. For they, talking about the word that he's given them, they are word, they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. What does it mean to apply the word of God in our life personally? What does it mean? It's a big question. That word apply means to put into use, especially for some practical purpose. We put those words in our heart. We hide them there so that we can use the Word of God later. When the trials come, when the temptations come, when the times of questioning comes, we use the Word of God. Listen, biblically speaking, James defines it this way. In James chapter 1, verse 22, just make a note of this verse. James 1, 22. But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Let me read it again. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I had to apply this verse when our children were growing up, and we wanted them not to eat the snacks and everything that came from grandma's house first, but to eat their veggies. And you know what? I didn't even like those vegetables. But when I told the kids to eat those vegetables, they look at me and they say, Daddy, you're going to eat your vegetables? And Mommy sitting out at the other side of the table, she said, just smiling. She didn't have to say anything. I knew what she was thinking. She said, yeah, Daddy, you're going to have to eat those vegetables that you don't like too. I said, sure, we'll eat them. And I'd eat my green peas, and I'd eat my green beans, and I'd eat the potatoes and all the other stuff. And you know what? Pretty soon, the more I took in, the more I liked it. And today, I'll be honest with you, I'd rather have a vegetable plate sometimes than have a meat plate. I love my vegetables. I can sit down and eat me a basket full of green beans. Man, I just love them, man. Put some red pepper flakes on those things and some salt, and man, just eat them up. Good night. I love them. I had to become a doer of the words I was telling my children to do and not just a hearer only. And you know what? They learned to eat their vegetables because Daddy ate them too. Now listen to me. You may ask, well, what positive result can the application of God's truth ever bring forth in my life as a believer? Well, let me share with you some things. Number one, the application of God's truth results in the guarantee of our salvation. Now you think about that just a moment. The application of God's truth. Application provides proof of relationship. When I got saved, the next day, I got saved on a Friday. On Saturday, I got mad at my brother and my sister and stuff like that. And I thought to myself, the first thing I thought was, man, did I really get saved yesterday? And you know what the devil says? No, you're not saved. You're not saved. Trying to drive that wedge in there. And you know what? When I read the Word of God said, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Yeah. If we keep His commandments. If we do what God said do. You know what? When I did wrong, I had to learn to do what God said do about that. What did God say do? He said, if we confess our sin, then He is faithful to forgive us that sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's sort of like taking a bath, okay? All right? When our grandchildren came up for Thanksgiving, they were coming to church on Sunday. One of the reasons they were late was our 15-year-old grandson, Logan, thought, well, I took a bath before I left on Wednesday. I don't really need to take a bath on Thursday. I'll just put on some cologne. And our daughter, his mother, said, no, you will take a bath. He said, but why? He said, and she told him, she said, because if I can smell you, everybody else can smell you. He didn't think anything about it. And you know what? Every day we take a bath, don't we? Not just for our sake, but for the sake of those around us, okay? We take a bath. And you know what? Every day we need to take a bath in the Word of God. We need to bathe ourselves in the Word of God. Come clean with God and let Him clean us so that we can be presentable to the world. Listen, we don't base our salvation upon our own merits, our own good deeds, but rather we base our salvation upon the faithfulness of the Word of God. And in 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13, John wrote these things. He said, and this is the record. That word record means the evidence, the proof of something. This is the record that God hath given us eternal life. Now listen to what he said. He said, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's a picture of two people. One that has received Christ as their Savior, and they have what? Eternal, everlasting life. And it's a picture of another person that has not received Christ as their Savior, and they don't have that eternal life. And I had to ask myself, now son, which one of those two people are you? And I said to myself, well, I'm the one that's received Christ as my Savior. March the 28th, 1975. And then I read the very next verse, verse 13, where John wrote, he said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, and that's what I had done, that ye may K-N-O-W, know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Folks, listen to me today. The application of God's truth results in the guarantee of our salvation. Isn't that great? But secondly, number B, look at this. The application of God's truth also results in its becoming the gauge of our sanctification, of our growth for the Lord. How much are you intending to grow for the Lord? Okay? How much are you intending to grow? Listen, the more we know and apply the Word of God to our lives each and every day, the more effective and Christ-like our lives become. And so we need to make it a part of our lives. Listen, remember last week, I believe it was, we read in Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7, the Bible said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. All right? Chapter 3, verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. So if we apply the Word of God in our hearts and our lives, that application soon becomes a gauge to our sanctification, our growth, for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what God did with me? He changed my wonder when I got saved. I don't want to do the things I used to do before I got saved. Now I want to live for Him. And I live for Him through the power of His almighty Word. Number three, number C, look at this. The application of God's truth also serves as a goad to spiritual maturity. You know what? Yesterday, Precious was laying on my lap, and I said, Precious, honey, Daddy's got to get up. I got to get some things done. She turned around and looked at me like this, and she laid her little head right back down on my lap, and she went right back to sleep. And I said, Precious, honey, Daddy's got to get up, and she didn't move. You know what I had to do? I had to poke her. I had to goad her, okay, and say, Daddy's got to get up. And she looks at me and stretches real big and gets ready to lay back down. I said, no, get yourself up. I got to get up. I got to get up. You know what? We need this goading from the Spirit of God to help us to grow for the Lord. How do we do that? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 22. Look at it. We need to allow the Spirit of God to steer us in the right direction. He said, for they, the words of wisdom, the words of truth, they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Let me ask you something today. How are you allowing the Spirit of God to steer your life in maturing for Him today? when he says, how about spending some time with me in prayer? How about spending some time with me in the Word of God? How about spending some time telling somebody else about what Christ has done for you? Do we do it? Or does he have to goad us? Does he have to poke us and say, get up and do something for me? Listen, the older I get, the more I understand one day I'm going to stand before him and give account unto him for how I have lived for him, what I've done for him as a born-again child of God. That ought to be a spiritual goad for us right now, because we don't know when that last day will be. Number D, look at this. The application of God's truth is also a guard against sin. Let me say this to you today. Either this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. And the Bible said here in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. You see, Paul reminds us to put on the whole armor of God. Amen. Not just parts of it, not just the light things, not the easy things, but the whole armor of God. Why? That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We need to apply it to our heart. Number E, I'm trying to hurry. The application of God's truth serves as the governor of our behavior. When I drove a Sunday school bus down in North Carolina, we had governors on those buses. They would not go faster than 50 miles an hour. I don't care. I could hold that gas pedal to the floorboard, and it would not go any more than 50 miles an hour. So I had to plan my route, and that meant I had to leave earlier, okay, to pick up people and get them back to church on time. The Bible teaches us, if you'll remember, Moses taught the children of Israel not to forget all that God had done for them before they entered into the land of promise, and to use that knowledge to govern their lives as they went in to possess it. And folks, that's what you and I have got to do. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 and 3 says this, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Listen, folks, we need the Word of God. Amen. And then number F, real quick, the application of God's truth serves as the source of grace in times of crisis. We need the Word of God when we're going through heartaches. It serves as our source of grace in times of crisis. And then lastly, the application of God's truth serves as a guide in our decision making. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen. Wisdom and truth. Let me ask you today, do you know what it is? Most of us do. But the real question is not, do we know what it is? The real question is, have we been a willing child of God? Have we been willing to apply it to our lives? If not, let's begin today. Let's end this year right so that we might begin the new year doing what God said do. Amen? Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, we love you. And God, I thank you for the precious Word of God. And I ask you now, Lord, today to help us, Lord, not only to know what your word says, but, Lord, to apply it in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be the light that you would have us to be in a dark world of sin. And, Father, we'll thank you for what you do. Bless now our pastor as he stands to preach. And, God, we'll thank you for the souls that are saved. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. We love you today. Thank you for being here.